You are listening to a sermon by Annika Kraus, recorded on Sunday, July 3rd, 2022, at Point Grey Intermennonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speaker are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
Well, thank you very much for having me here. Before I start, I just want to send greetings from MFM. I was told to pass that on. I know there are some of you who know some of the members of my church here in Montreal. So this past week, I was on holiday, and two of my closest friends from Vancouver came to visit me here in Montreal. But before they arrived, we talked about what we wanted our vacation to look like, not only what we would do in terms of activities, but what we would do to keep our work lives at bay and how we would live into our time for rest and restoration. And one of the things that really struck me was how many ways we needed to be intentional about avoiding contact with our work worlds. Between us, we had not only to ensure that those around us knew we were going to be away, we had to create out of the office bounce back emails, silence group chat apps, and sign ourselves out of work video conferencing platforms. And even with that, we didn't quite manage to completely avoid our jobs. Each of us at some point found ourselves temporarily solving one issue or another in order to get back to our time off. And I know a lot of you can relate to that. Each of us has significant responsibilities, but it's more than that. We do live in a culture where productivity is valued above almost everything else. Busyness is a type of idol that we as a society have decided to devote ourselves to with wordless agreement and tired nods. And I'm not just talking about employment here. There are many ways people fill their schedules to the brink, with different things like volunteering, caring for family members, sports, classes, projects. There's a number of things. We have a tendency to pack our schedules and then compare our to-do lists as if they were symbols of honor. And consequently, this means that the means through which we can be contacted in order to do all the things we need to do have grown and continue to grow. Email, phone calls, texts, group chats, video conferencing, smartwatches, pop-up messages, alerts, app notifications. Lucky us. No matter where we are, we can find convenient ways to always be instantly notified about the smallest thing so we can be more productive than ever before. Sounds great, doesn't it? Don't worry, you never have to worry about being left alone. At the very least, it begs the question, where does meaningful rest come in? In addition to acknowledging that most of us aren't very good at truly resting, we need to recognize that we have been trained to see rest as a means of making work more sustainable long-term. Often it's seen as means to an end. Rest prevents burnout or restores a person so that they can maintain their busy schedule. It often lacks the intentionality that is truly required to be restorative. Our passages from this morning give us a lot to think about where rest is concerned. Each of them talks about the Jewish practice of Sabbath or Shabbat in Hebrew, and the word itself means to cease or to desist. The basis for the Sabbath stems from the creation narrative in Genesis 1. On the seventh day, God rested. And Walter Brueggemann states it in a delightful way. He said, God rested on the seventh day. God did not show up to do more. God absented God's self from the office. God did not come back and check on creation in anxiety to be sure all was working. God has complete confidence in the fruit-bearing, blessing-generating process of creation that has been instituted. God exhibits no anxiety about the life-giving capacity of creation. God knows the world will hold. Can you imagine taking a Sabbath that way? No checking in, no anxiety. I was not able to accomplish that last week. I both checked in and had certain amounts of anxiety about being ready for the guest speaker that we had in my service this morning. Sabbath, like spiritual disciplines, takes practice and consistency, but leaves us much better for it. From creation onward, the seventh day was considered holy, set apart by God and for God. The Sabbath is actually the first thing in the Bible to be called holy or set apart. It wasn't plants or animals or even humans that were first declared holy, but the Sabbath. For that reason, there are some theologians who claim that it is the Sabbath rather than humans that is to be considered the pinnacle of creation. It's a symbol of shalom, or the right relationship between God, humans, and all of creation, and that existed at the beginning, and the shalom that all God followers should be seeking now. I'm going to leave you to ponder whether or not you think Sabbath is the pinnacle of the creation story. It's certainly something that's worth meditating on. However, there is one thing that is without a doubt. Sabbath is essential to the faith culture of practicing Judeo-Christian people of God. It has been built into the infrastructure. Our passage in Exodus says, 6 days you shall work, but on the seventh day you shall rest. Even in plowing time and in harvest time you shall rest. You shall observe the festival of weeks, the first fruits of wheat harvest, and the festival of ingathering at the turn of the year. You must rest on the seventh day and on the festival days, no matter what other responsibilities come knocking. These days are holy, set apart for rest, set apart as a reminder of God's goodness and faithfulness to God's people. You might be pondering about where our second passage fits in. At first glance, it appears that Jesus is being cavalier about the Sabbath. So let's take a look. He and his disciples are walking with a Pharisee, and the disciples pick heads of grain and start eating the wheat kernels. The Pharisee is shocked, since Hebrew scripture says that it's forbidden to harvest on the Sabbath. And Jesus' response is to remind the Pharisee about David taking the bread of presence from the temple to feed hungry soldiers, bread that was only permitted for the priest to eat. He tells a story in which the physical need of the soldiers supersedes the ordinance that only priests can eat the bread of presence. And to top it off, the passage ends with a phrase that I'm sure most of us have heard before. Sabbath was made for humankind, not humankind for the Sabbath. And so while it seems that Jesus is being a bit dismissive of the Jewish tradition of Sabbath, it's actually quite the opposite. Rather than abolishing the Sabbath, Jesus is recentering the practice. You see, Sabbath had been turned into a highly ritualized practice that had rigid rules and included things like the number of steps one could take or the exact activities that were permitted to be done on the Sabbath. Jesus' phrase in this passage declares that the Sabbath is a gift from God for the well-being of God's people. It's not meant to be met with legalism. Instead, it's meant to be practiced in such a way that best draws the one practicing closer to shalom. I think we are currently in a particularly important time to talk about Sabbath. Our world has opened up a lot in the last few months. Like my friends who came to visit me over the past 2 weeks, people are traveling and visiting new and familiar places. We have each used the phrase, "I can't wait to get back to normal," several times over the last couple of years, believing that going back to the way things were is possible. I was recently at the Festival of Homiletics, a preaching festival, and Reverend Dr. Kimberly R. Wagner from Lutheran School of Theology in Chicago spoke on the mass trauma of the pandemic. And she reminded us that it's not over and we are still feeling the effects of it. The truth is, even as our world opens up, anxiety, depression, and panic attacks are in fact on the rise. People who thought they could simply bounce back to the glorified version of pre-pandemic times they had in their head were met with a wall of exhaustion and frustrating limitations. Our bodies and our minds are not done responding to the pandemic yet, and they won't be for quite some time. And one way I suggest that we help ourselves navigate these times is to commit ourselves to an authentic weekly Sabbath that includes unplugging for as long as is manageable, praying, meditating, and resting, thinking of both work and rest as virtues that do not contradict each other. Find spaces to treat your mind, body, and spirit well, places where you can continue to strive for that holy rest exemplified by God on the seventh day of creation. And what that looks like for you may be very different from what it looks like for me. Each of you is unique, with unique ways of finding rest. I find it in cooking, walking in nature, and writing in my prayer journal. You may find it in meditative yoga, in listening to your favorite pieces of music, or in cycling around the seawall. Whatever things bring you peace, seek them each week in a meaningful way. After all, Sabbath was created for us and built into the infrastructure of our faith. It is a gift, a blessing that is there for the taking, and it guarantees benefits to every part of us, pulling us closer to the peace that eludes us when we can only see value in being constantly productive. So as you go into this week, may God be with you as you seek quiet moments and nurture your mind, body, and spirit. Amen.